My name is Anouk Millet. I'm on the phone with Lalo from Forza Porza. He is here today to talk about the bill C-24 with us. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on your radio show.
Thank you so much for being with us. Could you start with telling us a bit more about your organization?
Sure, yes. So we go by the name of Fuerza Porza, which Fuerza in Spanish means strength, and Porza also means strength in Tagalog, one of the Filipino languages. So we are based in Guelph, Ontario, and what we have been focused on is a lot of us are immigrants ourselves, or our parents are immigrants, and so we connected to just talking to immigrant communities within, first it was in the Guelph area, just to kind of see what people's concerns are as they were kind of arriving or just even when they were there for a few years, but sometimes kind of disconnected from services or programs or things like that, and just kind of listening to people's concerns. And then so we kind of work with those communities to raise awareness around their concerns and try to start programs and things like that to address some of them. And we also work with communities of migrant workers, so people coming under various temporary foreign worker programs to different communities around Ontario. Mostly we started working a lot with farm workers coming from Mexico, Jamaica, and Trinidad. So we would go out to those rural towns and just talk to people and also see if there was anything that we could help them out with. So a lot of us that speak Spanish, we would do a lot of translation and identify information that people were looking for, but that was not available in Spanish. We would translate it and then give it to people. And we also helped a lot to organize some health fairs to try to also invite local service providers to provide information that was accessible to farm worker communities, migrant farm worker communities. So, yeah, in a nutshell, that's what we do. And then we always try to kind of respond to immigration-related things. We have a campaign that's also looking at ending immigration detention. And we're working with No One Is Illegal and various other groups as well. And so some of our group members work specifically on that too.
A year ago, when the Bill C-24 was being discussed, mostly because it was passing in court, you signed a joint statement alongside with many other groups, like actually No One Is Illegal or Solidarity Across Borders and groups like that. Could you come back on your criticism on the bill and what, in your opinion, was like or is still wrong about this bill?
Sure, yeah. A couple of us have, have been trying to organize a bit around that and just raise awareness about it. So, yeah, I guess the bill just introduces a lot of changes in terms of the power that it gives to the citizenship kind of politicians and the ministry. So it's really looking at and making citizenship now really a privilege and not a right, which is kind of what people have been saying that, once you were able to get Canadian citizenship, there was a security, you were here, you were kind of welcomed as part of the Canadian, I guess, nation. And then you would have, the full basket of rights and things like that. And now we're just seeing it becoming harder to get with people having to, for example, wait as permanent residences longer before they can apply, and then also it being easier to lose or the ability to lose it, specifically for people who weren't actually born, citizenship, that are kind of second. People talk about them being now second-class citizens because, if they weren't born here, now there's the chance that they can actually lose citizenship. So we find that that's very, very problematic, and it really gives a lot of power to quell protests, to kind of try to keep people in line for fear that now, their citizenship is this thing that they can lose and they have to be careful. And again, kind of the idea of punishment, if you kind of step out of line, you can actually lose your citizenship. So we're very worried about this because obviously this is not the direction we think that things should be going, and it's just very, very scary, I guess, for a lot of people. Specifically, I guess before, when you had citizenship, you couldn't lose it, unless, again, people have been talking about if you had attained it, with ideas of if it was fraud. But even then, you would still have the chance to go appeal at a federal level court, and then you'd kind of be heard at a court of law. But now these these changes are really just giving all the power to citizenship officers, and there's not really an opportunity, we're hearing there's not really an opportunity for any kind of appeal. So it's really just kind of bypassing a lot of the laws that that have been in place to protect people's rights. Mm-hmm. And just in terms of just the culture of fear that's been really instilled into a lot of people around, the politicians talking about terrorism and just kind of really painting people who are politically active even as dissidents and kind of dangerous and all these things, really mm-hmm. kind of connecting to all that whole, discourse, it really puts a lot of people, tries to quell a lot of that of kind of resistance or even just basic, people becoming active to talk about their concerns and things like that. We're really worried of those ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we know also people, that have been waiting for citizenship. And so another kind of an example of the changes too, mm-hmm. that prolonging the wait before you can apply. So, we know a lot of people who, they come here, they apply and they have family back home, and, emergency situations happen and they would really like to go back, to be either at funerals or to be, just kind of stay connected with their family. And so these changes also add a year onto the wait and really kind of make it so that people cannot really travel very, very easily out of the country while they're waiting, or they can only, travel for very limited times. Again, trying, instilling this fear in people that, they should almost be happy that they're even, being allowed to have this opportunity. And so, they shouldn't be almost like, they shouldn't expect to then be able to visit family and things like that, which we think is just, it's just pretty ridiculous, and really treating people, again, like second-class people, right? That mm-hmm. that you're not recognizing their life.
Yeah, knowing the context that we're in today, with all those like crises in the world and more and more immigration flux in all over the world, actually, not only in Canada. What do you think the implications would be of this bill on like immigrants coming to Canada and also those that are already here?
Yeah, well, I think the fear is a big part. I think, I think in our experience, and I know even some friends I have who came here even as refugees and then were able to bring some family, and, the politics around the world where people who are, for example, trying to challenge corruption or corrupt governments in their home countries or whose family is connected to people, whose family includes people who are politically active or challenging, repressive states or repressive regimes. I think there is this fear that, you want to think twice about maybe voicing your experiences or voicing, political positions here, because again, with, like you're saying, with the political climate of kind of, the scare tactics of terrorism and all these things, like, I think people will be very scared to get politically involved or, even, like I was saying, even if they're here and they feel there's injustices in terms of the treatment as immigrants or structural racism or things like that, you might start seeing people not so openly contesting those things, that which are basic rights. They're here, they should be treated just like everybody else. And we know that racism, for example, is super systemic and widespread. So, and it's been so great that, certain communities have really been standing up to challenge these structures, right, of oppression. And so, but if these communities are based in people who have citizens, who are not born in Canada and might have that dual citizenship, because those are the people or access to another citizenship, because that is the people who are at risk of having their citizenship taken away, you might see that kind of resistance. There's more of a risk for that kind of resistance. And mm-hmm. so again, it really hurts, social movements and work that has been greatly pushed forward by a lot of immigrant communities and communities of color that have ties to immigration, because there's that fear, what if I stand out, get active, get involved, speak mm-hmm. publicly, what about my parents, they're immigrants, will they, will I be seen as a radical, etc., and am I now legitimate, or putting at risk the citizenship of my family or things like that. So I think that's a really, really big scare tactic and strategy of control, really, by the government.
What do you think we need to do to make it, obviously fight against Bill C-24, but what else can we do to make those, like, situations much better for immigrants and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, in general, I think there's quite a lot of work, I think, to do. Mm-hmm. I think people, it's easy kind of in Canada sometimes to kind of just say, you know, we're a very multicultural society, you know, we're very accepting, and then kind of just talk about this multiculturalism that we are. And when it serves us, it's easy to kind of paint, you know, people use the idea of the of kind of diversity and words like that when, you know, we might be in the international spotlight. So they use, you know, those words and those expressions for our benefit of kind of the Canadian identity. But I think when you look closely, there's a lot of immigrant communities that have a lot of concerns that are, for example, maybe disconnected from local services. Their residential areas might be underfunded with programming. They might be targeted more targeted by police. So we see, for example, communities of color that also have kind of ties to immigration, being targeted by police and carding programs and things like that. So I think there's a lot of work to do, and that's kind of what is, I think, very scary about this, is that work that needs to be done, these changes kind of set, again, like I mentioned, kind of set that a bit in that risk of standing out. But I think our group, for example, we tend to look a lot around health services and kind of social services. So within the context of Guelph, we really have been connecting to people and listening to kind of their concerns. If they have trouble connecting to, you know, family doctors, or if they have trouble to connect to other services or things like that, or what are kind of some issues that they have going on. And there's definitely a lot of work. I think it's all, another thing too is kind of this categorization of people who are newcomers or who are coming from different places. And, you know, we've seen attacks on each one of these groups. So, you know, we look at people coming here as refugees, and there's been so many years of attacks on people coming in as refugees, you know, the government talking about bogus refugees and, you know, creating the safe country list. And, you know, for example, saying, you know, if you were from this country, we don't even want your application, it's a safe country, when we know that those realities are not true. And oftentimes it's a political tactic to stay in good terms with the governments of those countries, right? Yeah. And then same thing with migrant workers. We see, you know, a policy that just came into place where, you know, the government put in 4-year limits to the amount of time that people can be here under temporary foreign worker permits. So even though they've been living here for 4 years, you know, connecting to communities, maybe, you know, building relationships and contributing, you know, to the communities and to the economy, after 4 years, they're just seen as disposable and they get kicked out, right? So I think this, you know, this bill and this policy is just another example of this government's treatment of quote-unquote foreigners, or, you know, and trying to just be able to control. And it really is just situated on privileging people, you know, of cultural backgrounds that have been, you know, that came to this and that colonized, I guess, this region, right? But it's, again, the privileging of people who are born here and the kind of villainization or disposability of people that are coming from other places, right? And this wanting to be able to control them, throw, you know, use them economically, you know, the ones that they're worried about that might, you know, challenge their policies, you know, be able to either put them into prison, like in detention indefinitely, because, again, in Canada, for example, immigration detention, there's people who, you know, without charge are in detention because we don't have a policy that has a cap to how long people can be in immigration detention. So the government's able to do that, or, you know, now take away their citizenship. So it's, you know, it just seems a lot of racism and control and trying to, again, quell dissidents and quell any kind of challenge.
Well, thank you very much for talking with me today.
No problem. Thanks so much for helping. Thanks for inviting me.
Do you want to give maybe your organization's information?
Sure, yes. So, again, we're called Fuerza Puerza, which is FUERZA/PUWERSA. And Our email, if anybody wants to contact us, is fuerza.puerza@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook page that you can get to just by Fuerza Puerza as well. And we always work with other groups as well. So if you know, people are part of other immigrant rights focus groups too, we always are interested in collaborating and sharing resources and stuff too. So